It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Impeachment is a go.
Today, I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment.
That is our top story this Thursday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi giving the green light for the Judiciary Committee to start drafting up articles of impeachment against the President of the United States.
The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security.
Pelosi says President Trump threatened to withhold military aid and a crucial White House meeting in exchange for Ukraine's help in digging up political dirt on a political foe.
The president's actions are a profound violation of the public trust.
Her comments come after a fiery day of testimony in the House Judiciary Committee yesterday, following 8 hours of back and forth legal wrangling. This is how it ended.
We haven't even asked consent request.
Too late. The witnesses are additional materials for the record.
Consent request?
Without objection, the hearing is adjourned.
Yeah, that's just typical, isn't it? Just typical.
House Republicans say they want more hearings so they can collect evidence to prove the president's innocence. That's not going to happen now as the House gets set to vote on impeachment starting next week. A trial would likely start in the Senate early next year. Republican strategist Ed Rollins.
This is an absurd process, and the impeachment is a very important thing. And if you go back and study the history, with the exception of Johnson, who was an absolute racist and a terrible human being and probably should have been impeached, everybody else is a crime. I was part of the Nixon team, and there was a crime there. There was a burglary, a break-in, cover-up. In the case of President Clinton, there was a lying on their oath. It was a crime. There's no crime proven here.
President Trump sounding off on today's development, saying he wants the process to move quickly now so he can get a fair trial in the Senate. And in the Senate, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's sick and tired of all the impeachment talk.
It's all impeachment, all the time. Only in this town, Madam President, only in Washington, does anybody think it's okay for our armed forces to go unfunded and a major trade deal to go unpassed. Because Democrats are too busy hosting a panel of law professors.
McConnell says the nation has more important issues to solve than the impeachment of President Trump. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
This is the day that Alexander Hamilton feared and warned would come. This is the day the nation is weaker.
McCarthy says Democrats cannot put the needs of the country ahead of their fears of losing the next election. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich.
63 million people elected Donald Trump. You shouldn't have 200 people unelect him. We have an election coming up. If the American people think what he's done is wrong, they can fire him.
On Monday next week, the House Judiciary Committee will hold a hearing as it starts the process of drawing up those articles of impeachment against President Trump. A truly historic day today. Gunfire at Pearl Harbor. That is the other big story at noon.
The shooter is also deceased by an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Deadly gunfire overnight at the historic naval base in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. It came just days before ceremonies to mark the World War II attack by the Japanese. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
A gunman in his Navy uniform set off panic when he shot and killed two male civilian shipyard workers before turning the gun on himself. Minutes after the gunfire broke out, an emergency text alert went out.
I don't know what's going on, but they're not letting us out.
Is there a shooter?
An investigation will uncover if the gunman knew any of the men he shot.
That's Jonathan Vigliotti reporting. U.S. Attorney General William Barr touching off a firestorm when he recently talked about communities showing more respect for police.
Communities don't give that support and respect. They might find themselves without the police protection they need.
Vanita Gupta, who served in the Justice Department under President Obama, called Barr's comments a threat directed towards communities of color who've complained about police brutality.
It is wholly irresponsible for the nation's chief law enforcement officer to criticize people who are seeking a better, more fair system as being anti-police.
The Trump administration says police officers across the country are routinely subjected to criticism and violence for simply doing their job. New twist in the Trayvon Martin case, the Florida teenager who was shot and killed in 2012. George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watch volunteer whose acquittal touched off a national debate, now suing the teenager's parents for $100 million, claiming he was defamed. A California school district being sued by the parents of a student who committed suicide. Correspondent Gary Nunn.
The girl texted a friend about her plan. The message reached Yuba City, California school officials who failed to tell her parents.
We are broken. Our family is broken.
Morgan Ockletree believes she could have helped her daughter.
We didn't know that she felt alone or that she was planning this.
The text reached school officials 7 weeks before the girl took her own life.
Heartbreak doesn't begin to describe what this is.
Madison Ockletree was 12.
That's Gary Nunn reporting. Tainted lettuce from Central California being linked to over 100 illnesses in 23 states. The FDA says the new number more than doubles the magnitude of an ongoing E. coli outbreak connected to romaine lettuce grown in California's Salinas Valley. Still to come this Thursday, protecting kids in Pennsylvania, Edward Scharfenberger in Buffalo, and Donald Trump in Hershey.
Good afternoon. Still tracking a few lake flakes in some areas this afternoon. A clipper system brings some light snow for some tomorrow, but high pressure delivers some sunshine this weekend. I'll be back with the complete forecast. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Thursday, December 5th, Catholics across Western New York say they are impressed with Edward Scharfenberger, the Bishop of Albany, taking over operations in Buffalo following the resignation yesterday of Richard Malone.
Everybody is expressing kind of a sigh of relief that there is real hope and that things are going to can do nothing but get better.
Paul Seil at St. Bernadette's Church in Orchard Park says Bishop Scharfenberger is just what the Buffalo Diocese needs right now following the clergy sex abuse scandal.
Just hearing him speak about the fact that he considers himself a brother to us, that he wants to be there for us, you know, those are all things that we have not experienced in the last several years in our diocese. The positive qualities that he brings at this time are desperately needed.
Richard Malone stepped down yesterday as Bishop of Buffalo following years of public outcry over his handling of the pedophile priest crisis in Western New York. Starting January 1st, new clearance requirements are coming to Pennsylvania's Child Protective Services law. All employees who have contact with kids will be required to get a criminal background check. A background check will be mandatory starting the first of the year before any prospective employee can be hired in Pennsylvania. Parental rights versus government overreach, big issue, and it's an issue being tackled tonight at an event near Rochester. New York Assemblyman David DiPietro will talk about topics dealing with faith and family values. The First Bible Baptist Church in Hilton is where you need to be.
We often have no idea what our government is up to. So this will be a great time to educate and to learn. If you don't like this bill or that bill, contact your assemblyman, contact your senator, and contact Cuomo.
A concerned parent, Janelle Young, says it's vital to educate yourself about what's going on in state politics.
They're proposing several sex education bills that roll out in first grade. Some of the bills are just in regards to giving children medical rights as of 9 years old, that they can make their own medical decisions. And then, of course, there are other proposed that the mandates of the HPVs, of the flu.
And tonight's forum starts 7 p.m. at the First Bible Baptist Church in Hilton, New York. President Trump going to be in Hershey, PA next week, and local security officials are scratching their heads when it comes to covering the costs.
Political rallies can cost tens of thousands of dollars. The supervisors say that, unlike in the past, they will now ask for reimbursement from all political candidates who rally in Hershey. Trump is hosting a rally at Giant Center next Tuesday, and hundreds have signed a petition demanding the township not be burdened with the bill for that added security. Other communities have tried and failed to get political candidates to pay them back for security costs. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. The Trump administration requiring more food stamp recipients to work in order to get their SNAP benefits. The move could impact hundreds of thousands of folks in New York and Pennsylvania. Teresa Miller is Human Services Secretary in the Commonwealth.
I think it's easy to say, just go get a job, but at the end of the day, it's not as easy for a lot of the individuals that we serve.
The Trump administration says the move could save the federal government over $5 billion every year, but Teresa Miller says the focus should be on saving people, not money.
We need to be investing in them and trying to figure out how we can help them get to self-sufficiency. We want to see people get off of our programs for the long term. We don't want to see them cycle on and off our programs.
The Trump administration says the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program meant to be a safety net, not a lifestyle. And those who are able to work, well, they should work. Conservative activist Star Parker.
People that want the big welfare state have a vested interest. Most Americans don't understand. We're spending about $900 billion a year in these anti-poverty programs. We have invested $24 trillion into this war on poverty, and yet less than 20 cents on a dollar actually reaches the household.
The Trump administration says able-bodied people who can work should work in order to apply for food stamps. The new workplace rules will take effect April 1st. Need a job? Well, the Harrisburg School District needs you. Officials there say they are in desperate need of substitute teachers. Acting Assistant Superintendent Chris Selmer.
I see it as an opportunity to help our children, but at the same time, it could be a career-defining moment for an individual that maybe they want to change course of their career as they move forward.
Selmer says they'll be holding more workshops in the future in hopes of getting more substitute teachers in Harrisburg. That district is not alone either. There's currently a substitute teacher shortage crisis all across the country as schools scramble to find folks to fill in. In the classroom, Pennsylvania Agriculture Secretary Russell Redding helped kick off this year's Trees for Troops campaign. Happened in York County yesterday.
We get a chance to do something small but significant, and that is a chance to donate a tree through the Trees for Troops. Very simple act, but very important statement about what we value. There is not a more symbolic representation of the holiday season than a tree.
Redding encouraged Pennsylvanians to donate Christmas trees to active duty military service members and their families.
2% of our population feeds us in agriculture. It's about the same percentage that also protects us. So 2% allow us to sleep well, and 2% feed us all year long. And that's 4% we should stand with any day.
No complaints there. This is the 15th year of Trees for Troops. The campaign has provided more than 225,000 Christmas trees to military families all across Pennsylvania. A Southern Tier congressman calling on constituents to collect cards for heroes. New at noon, Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
U.S. Representative Anthony Brindisi is asking families to show appreciation for veterans this holiday season through the Cards for Heroes program. The initiative encourages people to send Christmas cards to vets. Brindisi will be collecting the cards at two locations, his offices in Binghamton and Utica. The Democrat says it's important that we show veterans we appreciate their sacrifice and that the cards, quote, are just one small way for us to say thank you and spread holiday cheer throughout our community. The Christmas cards must be submitted by December 20th. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. College hoops, the Tar Heels. Well, they look blue. Now they're feeling blue. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, let's start with college basketball. The ACC Big Ten Challenge in Ouch. Ohio State beat North Carolina 74-49. That's the worst loss for the Tar Heels since 1986. Another ouch. Purdue crushing the defending national champion University of Virginia Cavaliers 69-40. The Cavs number 5 in the nation. Look for Penn State to jump into the top 25. They look good. Destroying Wake Forest 76-54. The Nittany Lions 7-1 on the season. In other action, Colgate over Binghamton 82-74. Robert Morris Falls to Youngstown State 81-70. Duquesne undefeated 7-0, beating VMI 71-58. Florida Atlantic able to hold off Canisius 62-59, and St. Francis over Lehigh 77-69. To the ice, Tristan Jarry had 28 saves. The Penguins shut out the Blues 3-0 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the guys are doing a great job making sure the pucks are coming from the outside. It makes my job really easy as long as I'm managing my rebounds and making sure I'm doing what I can. It helps a lot. helps the guys
the
a lot.
Blues have their 10-game road point streak come to an end. In Toronto, Avalanche over the Maple Leafs 3-1. Ouch, says John Tavares.
Just got to stay with it, and the effort tonight and the way we responded was a real positive, and got to bounce back and get some results heading into this weekend, and then road trip out west.
Toronto has lost 3 of 4. To the NBA, Garrett Temple led all 5 starters in double figures, 27 points. Brooklyn Nets hammered the Hawks, 130-118. Thursday Night Football, 2 NFC teams who desperately need a win tonight meet in Chicago as the Cowboys visit the Bears. Dallas, 6-6, clinging to first place in the NFC East, a game ahead of Philadelphia. Chicago, also 6-6, looking for their third straight win. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Go Bears. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Thursday, impeachment is a go. In the House, we'll have the latest fatal shooting at Pearl Harbor and the Cannonball Run. We got a new record.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of, hey, what if the best way to pursue happiness is to pursue family? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. We've reached a barking point in American history. Yeah, I'm sorry for that one. A few years ago, for the first time ever, the number of dogs in this country surpassed the number of children under 18. According to Statista, there are 90 million dogs in America today, up from just 68 million in 2000. And a higher percentage of American households own dogs today than ever before. By contrast, there's just over 73 million children. Now, that still sounds like a lot, but as a percentage of the population, children have never been rarer. In 1960, for instance, over 1 in 3 Americans were under the age of 18. According to government projections, by 2050, children will just make up a quarter of the population or less. Now, as you'd expect, this drop in birth rates corresponds to a drop in marriages. But what you might not expect is that it also corresponds to a drop in happiness. The General Social Survey in 2018 found that Americans today are more miserable than they've been in decades, and replacing family with dogs isn't reversing the trend. Of course, what we increasingly hear today in print and on television and movies is that what will make us happy is the freedom that can only come from singleness and childlessness. Writing in The Atlantic recently, Mandy Lynn Catron bemoaned all of the things you lose when you gain a spouse. According to her, family life is isolating and it's unfair to outsiders because spouses give most of their attention to each other and then to their kids. When people get married, she writes, they retreat into, quote, socially neglectful cocoons. London School of Economics professor Paul Dolan goes even further in his book, Happily Ever After. He says the only reason married people report being happier on average than singles is that they're lying. The book was corrected, by the way, when this claim turned out to be unsupportable. See, in reality, the statistics are clear. Married people really are happier on average than those who are unmarried by an average of 10 percentage points. But is it because marriage makes people happy or because happy people are more likely to get married? A new paper by the Institute for Family Studies offers a surprising answer. Instead of looking at the effect of family itself, author James McQuivey decided to look at the effect of the desire for family. He asked over 1,000 men and women how much they valued having an emotionally intimate relationship, how much they valued sexual faithfulness and children. He then combined the answers into a single measure, which we might call a desire for a traditional nuclear family. He discovered that scoring higher on this measure predicted greater happiness and overall life satisfaction, regardless of whether or not the respondent was actually married or actually had kids. It's one of those results that makes you do a double take. After all, you'd expect people who want a family life and haven't found it to be dissatisfied. But on average, they're not. As McQuivey says, if you merely have the desire to pair, bond, and procreate, you're already happier than average. Act on that desire, he adds, and your happiness jumps while your life satisfaction, which is a separate metric, practically leaps off the charts. In other words, contrary to the thesis that getting married and having kids will doom you to misery, committing to a family is one of the most effective means ever created to train people to care for others. And a cornerstone of psychology is that other-centeredness brings human beings happiness. Look, dogs are great and all, but we were made for communion with other people. The family bond is so central to our design that merely pursuing it leads to greater happiness. For a society like ours, one in the midst of family and happiness shortages, the solution is obvious, and it won't be found at the dog park. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Lake effect snow that coated the roads and slickened some surfaces earlier today will be winding down now. But then we turn our attention to the next disturbance, an area of low pressure, that will deliver some light snow to some areas tomorrow. In its wake, high pressure returns the sun to the skies this weekend, and in concert with southerly breezes, Sunday sees a bit of a warm-up. In the meantime, for this afternoon, variably cloudy with flurries, still some lake snow in some areas, especially parts of central New York. Minimal accumulations, though. High temperatures have pretty much occurred. Winds will hold nearly steady where they are right now. Then tonight, mostly cloudy, low temps, 20. Some light snow spreads across western New York and central New York. Late tonight and tomorrow, a couple 3 inches. Flurries and sprinkles in Pennsylvania. Temperatures tomorrow peaking in the 30s. Saturday, early clouds and sunshine and a high in the 30s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Thursday, December 5th, the top story today, the order has gone out. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi telling congressional leaders this morning to start drawing up articles of impeachment against President Trump.
Today, I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment.
Pelosi says the president's alleged actions to leverage Ukraine for a political favor to benefit his 2020 re-election campaign was a violation of the U.S. Constitution.
The president leaves us no choice but to act because he is trying to corrupt once again the election for his own benefit.
Republican Congressman Andy Biggs sits on the House Judiciary Committee, which will take up the impeachment issue on Monday next week. He says he doesn't understand why Democrats are trying to rush this thing through.
If impeachment is the right remedy, doing it 6 months before an election is just as important as doing it now and trying to cram it in.
Michigan Democrat Dan Kildee says he's not a yes when it comes to impeachment. Not yet.
I'm going to have to wait and see what's in the articles. I believe that it's proper to move forward on preparing those articles of impeachment, but we don't all agree within our own caucus on some of the specifics, so when I see what those articles look like, I'll make a judgment.
President Trump says he wants the process to move quickly now so he can get a fair trial in the Senate. That trial expected to start early next year. International relations on edge. Following the commander-in-chief's abrupt exit from the 29-nation NATO summit in the UK, Mr. Trump left early after the leaders of Canada, France, and Britain were caught on a hot mic poking fun at him. Not cool, says Harry Kantanias. He's the director for the Center for International Interests.
When you think about all of these leaders getting together and having a gossip party, essentially making fun of President Trump, I think about it this way. These leaders would be the ones to have to call President Trump if there ever was a crisis with Russia, with ISIS, and it's brave American women who would die for that alliance if something terrible were to happen.
Despite the tension, Mr. Trump described the NATO summit as a success. The U.S. Navy trying to figure out why a U.S. sailor shot and killed two people, wounded a third before turning the gun on himself. Happened at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii yesterday.
Naval investigators this morning now trying to piece together if this gunman targeted the shipyard employees or if this was some kind of random attack. One witness described hearing what sounded like rapid gunfire. It's unknown what type of gun was used, but we can tell you personal weapons are not allowed on base.
It's Jonathan Vigliotti reporting. The body of John Dillinger, or whoever, is buried in his grave in Indianapolis, Indiana, will stay put. A judge has ruled that Dillinger's family cannot exhume his body for testing. Some of Dillinger's family members wanted to dig up the body because they thought the FBI shot and killed the wrong man outside of a movie theater in Chicago back in 1934. Pantone's color of the year is...
For just a minute, think blueberries, Pepsi cans, or the sky above. Classic Blue is Pantone's color of the year for 2020. The paint company says it's an anchor that offers stability, constancy, and connection.
There you go. Deborah Rodriguez reporting 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Anne Graham Lotz. We may know her as the second daughter of Billy Graham. She's also an author and founder of Angel Ministries.
Life is often tough. We face numerous challenges and hardships. Sometimes we attempt to make it through on our own strength, but there's actually help available to us as followers of Christ.
I'm not sure why we don't fully understand about the Holy Spirit, but I was raised in a committed Christian home. I went to church every Sunday, and I can't remember being taught about the Holy Spirit. He was referred to in church as the Holy Ghost, you know, and he was there in benedictions and baptisms. So it wasn't until I was studying the scriptures for myself as a young adult that I came to know more fully who he is in scripture. And I think many people consider him sort of like an optional extra in the Christian life. We know there's God the Father, and he's like the most important one, and then God the Son, who's the beloved person that we know, and through him we know God. But the Holy Spirit is like a PS. We don't know what to do with him. Like, he's the least of the Trinity. And actually, he's a full member of the Godhead. And the fact that he's the third is because he's the third to be more fully revealed in Scripture. You have God the Father in the Old Testament, God the Son in the Gospels, and then God the Holy Spirit in the epistles in the New Testament.
Scripture calls him the Comforter, and you've really experienced that in the recent hardships you've gone through. You lost not only your husband of many years, your father, and you've been diagnosed with breast cancer.
And each time, the Holy Spirit was right there. And I'm so thankful, Tracy, that as a little girl, I had confessed my sin, told God I was sorry, asked him to forgive me, and I invited Jesus to come into my heart. And Jesus understood what I was asking. He can't come into me because he's in a man's body up in heaven, you know, getting ready to come back, I think, and rule the world. But the Holy Spirit came into me. When I invited Jesus to come and live inside of me, he came in. And then I've spent much of my life in Bible study and just obedience, just developing my relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when those events that you speak of happened, the Holy Spirit was right there. I could draw on my relationship with him and draw on the foundation of faith that I had laid. So I encourage people, before a crisis hits, and I pray it doesn't, but life is hard sometimes, to develop a relationship with God, because he is very real and ever-present help in trouble, the scripture promises. So he has been there for me and carried me through really difficult times, and I feel like I've survived, not just somehow, but triumphantly.
And I noticed you dedicated this, your latest book, to the lonely.
And that was before I knew that 22% of adult Americans are so lonely they have suicidal thoughts, and that it's loneliness is an epidemic among millennials. And I think they live in a virtual world and maybe are lacking personal relationships. And the Holy Spirit has been my constant companion. I felt loneliness knock at my door when my husband of 49 years went to heaven, and then daddy, and then you have breast cancer, and you have major decisions to make. And I felt loneliness trying to get in, but it never came in because the Holy Spirit was right there to fill that void. And for those who may be listening and have felt lonely and have no one to turn to, no one they feel that knows them, understands them, no one they can trust, that's who the Holy Spirit is. He is a trustworthy, constant companion who not only is able to give us wisdom and help and strength, but he loves us. He's committed to us and committed to bringing us through all these things with triumph. So he's a wonderful person, and it's worthwhile to get to know him.
I was reminded recently of how spending time in Scripture is so vital, and when we don't even know what to pray, the Holy Spirit does that for us, even through groanings on our behalf. I think that is a very comforting thing, whether we're lonely or not.
And the Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus said brings the things to mind that he's taught us and will open our minds to understand the scriptures. And I don't understand everything I read, but I understand enough, you know, to develop and grow in my relationship with God. So I think prayer and Bible reading is critical, and then getting into a fellowship with other believers, a church that believes God's word and loves God's word and loves people, and that kind of fellowship can help you grow also. But for someone who maybe is faced with a crisis listening to us and they haven't done that, then just call out to Jesus. Just tell Jesus, I haven't spent time with you. I don't have that relationship that I need, but I want one, and I've got this crisis now, and I need your help. Please help me. And one of the names for the Holy Spirit is the Helper. And another name for him is Standby. He stands by to help us when we call on him.
And where can people learn more about this latest book of yours, Jesus in Me?
Well, you can find it anywhere books are sold, and you can go to my website, anngrahamlotz.org, and we have free Bible studies. I have videos teaching you how to hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit.
That's author Anne Graham Lotz. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Lake effect snow that coated the roads and slickened some surfaces earlier today will be winding down now. But then we turn our attention to the next disturbance, an area of low pressure, that will deliver some light snow to some areas tomorrow. In its wake, high pressure returns the sun to the skies this weekend, and in concert with southerly breezes, Sunday sees a bit of a warm-up. In the meantime, for this afternoon, variably cloudy with flurries, still some lake snow in some areas, especially parts of central New York. Minimal accumulations, though. High temperatures have pretty much occurred. Readings will hold nearly steady where they are right now. Then tonight, mostly cloudy, low temps, 20. Some light snow spreads across western New York and central New York. Late tonight and tomorrow, a couple 3 inches. Flurries and sprinkles in Pennsylvania. Temperatures tomorrow peaking in the 30s. Saturday, early clouds and sunshine and a high in the 30s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally this Thursday, it's called the Cannonball Run, and a couple of guys from New York City accomplished the feat in just 27 hours, 25 minutes. That beats the previous New York to L.A. run in an automobile by more than an hour.
Don't just meet your heroes, beat your heroes. So that was what I set out to do.
Doug Tabbitt and his two buddies set off on their record-setting quest from East 31st Street in the Big Apple in a Mercedes-Benz E63 sedan. They arrived at a hotel in Redondo Beach, California, 27 hours, 25 minutes later to become Cannonball Legends. Average speed, 103 miles an hour. Top speed, 193 miles an hour. So, how did they avoid the police?
As far as countermeasures go, we went with the AL Priority laser jammer, net radar, radar detector, Passport Max 360, had a police scanner, CB radio, plane crash avoidance system, and brake and taillight kill switches.
There you go. The trio also installed a 45-gallon fuel cell in the trunk of their car. They only stopped four times the entire 2,825-mile trip, and they said they had a few encounters with law enforcement, but were never pulled over, mainly because they couldn't catch them. That is the world we live in this Thursday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.